Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
Jesus invited the most unlikely characters to follow him. He invited people who were rich people and people who were poor people. He invited people who were good at being good and people who were not good at being good at all. He invited people who considered God. He considered people who gave God no consideration. Regardless of anything, Jesus invited people to follow. And Jesus' pattern of invitation is good news for people like me and people like you. Because the same invitation Jesus extended to the most unlikely characters of his day to follow, he extends to people like us. Even if we would consider ourselves to be some of the most unlikely characters for such an invitation to be extended to. Jesus' invitation to follow is an invitation into a relationship. And the core question at Jesus' invitation, should we choose to accept it, is found in this question: am I following? This question isn't about how I'm doing in relationship to or in comparison with anyone else. It's not a question about have I arrived at some specific destination, because in reality, when it comes to life, most of us really never arrive at the destination. What this question is at the core is a question about the decisions and the direction and the quality of life. It's a question about, am I continually and intentionally following Jesus? Well, there are four accounts of Jesus' life. One was written by a guy named Matthew. He was an eyewitness. He was one of Jesus' early followers, and he recorded his account from his experience. Mark spent a lot of time with one of Jesus' early followers, a guy by the name of Peter, and he basically recorded Peter's eyewitness account of his experience with Jesus. Luke was a first century doctor and historian who thoroughly investigated everything in order to write an orderly and accurate account of Jesus' life. He interviewed a lot of people, spent time with a lot of the early followers of Jesus, and gathered that information to write his account of Jesus' life. John was an eyewitness, and so he wrote from his perspective and his experience. So, some of the stories of Jesus' life are written from different perspectives and from a different angle. And though sometimes they appear to be contradictory, they aren't in fact contradictory, but turn out to be complementary whenever we compile the information around the different perspectives and realize that they're told from a different perspective. Matthew was writing to primarily a Jewish audience. And so he writes to a Jewish audience from a Jewish perspective. The invitation to follow story that we look at today, Matthew writes as kind of a brief overview, almost like a summary of what happened. Matthew tells us what happens. He just doesn't tell us all that happens. And so in Matthew's account, we discover about this invitation to follow that in some ways presents some challenges and problems for people as they consider whether or not they want to accept Jesus' invitation to follow. Here's Matthew's account. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. Now, in this account of this invitation to follow story, there are some details that I personally would like to have. It seems odd to me that a couple of guys fishing would just abandon everything and follow when some random guy comes by out of the blue and says, "Leave everything and follow me." The details that are missing often leave us to wonder why they would do that and why I should do that. Why should I leave everything and follow? You see, the invitation to follow Jesus isn't as random as it appears in Matthew's account, because the details that Matthew doesn't include, his Jewish audience didn't need included. Well, Simon, Peter, and Andrew aren't the only ones that Matthew writes about in this account. He talks about a couple of other guys that have a similar experience. It says, a little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Now again, there are some details missing, because in the culture of the day, leaving a family business, leaving a father immediately with no one to care for them, with no one to tend and keep the family business going, would have been a huge disgrace to the family. In fact, as a child, one of the most important responsibilities you would carry in the culture of that day was to make sure your family was cared for, and to make sure your parents specifically were cared for, and that to make sure the family business continued. So something else is going on in this story. Something more is going on. And it's found in the details that Matthew doesn't include that Luke does. So let's turn our attention to Luke's account of the story to see what details we can uncover about the invitation to follow Jesus that just might lead us through some stages of following Jesus as well. So, here's Luke's account. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. So on this day, Jesus is teaching about the things of God to a crowd of people that were gathering around him. And sometimes, for people like you and people like us, the first step in following Jesus is to just gather and listen to what it means to follow Jesus. Sometimes it's gathering information. Sometimes it's learning and listening. And Jesus' pattern in invitation, Jesus' pattern in relationship with his followers, Jesus' pattern in relationship with the crowds was he provided information, but he also provided an opportunity for people to ask questions, to gain more information, to have their questions answered. And if we choose to follow any type of belief system that doesn't allow us to ask questions, we should be very, very careful, because a belief system that doesn't allow us to ask questions not only squelches information, but also isn't consistent with the pattern of how Jesus invited people to follow him. So, Luke goes on to tell us what happens next. He, meaning Jesus, noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. So as Jesus is teaching the crowds that were gathered exactly the same place where Matthew said he came across Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, he notices two empty boats. The boats were empty because the fishermen who owned the boats were cleaning their nets. At the end of time of fishing, the nets would be spread out over wooden posts and rinsed off and allowed to dry and then rolled up and prepared for the next time out fishing. As the people who were cleaning the nets cleaned the nets, they were likely within earshot of what Jesus was teaching. They were likely listening to what Jesus was communicating about God to the crowd that had gathered. And maybe they were hearing something in a detail that Matthew doesn't include that Luke does. So here's what happens next. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asks Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat, Jesus sat in the boat, and taught the crowds from there. So Peter is one of the ones that's cleaning the nets, and one of the boats is his. Jesus steps into the boat and asks Peter to put it out into the water a little bit so he can teach the crowds from there. Now, if I were Peter, I'm not sure I would really want to do this at this point. After all, excuse me, I just finished up fishing. I'm cleaning the nets. I'm getting things ready. I'm tired. I just want to go home and get some rest before I have to go do it all again. And now you want me to stop what I'm doing to take you out in a boat so that you can teach people. I'm not sure how interested I would be. But Jesus, in inviting Peter to go out in the boat, is inviting Peter to take a step to follow him. At the very least, this would be an inconvenience to Peter. And Peter makes the decision. He takes a first step or a next step in following Jesus. He pushes the boat out. Jesus is teaching the crowds. And then Jesus turns to Peter and extends another next step of invitation to follow. Jesus tells Peter, "Now, go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." Well, again, if I'm Peter, I don't know how interested I would be in doing this. Jesus is telling me to do something I've done countless times. And he's telling me to do it different this time than I've done it before. He's telling me to do it in a way that really probably doesn't even make sense. And it may be one thing to push out in a boat and let Jesus teach the crowds, but to let Jesus tell me how to go fishing when I'm a fisherman and Jesus is a carpenter, I'm not sure this carpenter guy knows as much about fishing as he thinks he does. So Jesus tells him to go out and cast the nets, go out into deeper water. And this is probably during the daytime. And most fishing usually took place at night because the temperature was cooler, the water was cooler, the fish would come up closer to the surface and they would cast the nets and be able to haul the fish in. During the day, the temperature would get warmer, the water would get warmer, and the fish would go deeper, and they would cast out the nets and not really be able to get to the fish. And so Jesus is telling Peter, "Yeah, you've done this. You've done this countless times, but this time, do it differently. Go out, cast your nets into deeper water, even though it doesn't make sense. Go out and cast your nets into deeper water, and let's just see what happens if you're willing to take the step to follow me, even when it might not make sense to you." So, here's Peter's response to Jesus' invitation to go out into deeper water and cast the nets. "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing." So Peter tells Jesus they'd fished all night long. The time when they were supposed to fish, the time when it made sense to fish, and they hadn't caught anything. And now, I'm tired, I'm probably hungry, I just want to go home before I have to come back out and do it all again. I've taken the step and allowed you to use my boat, but now it's time to go back in and just go home. We fished all night and didn't catch a thing. we fish when we're supposed to fish, and now you want me to fish when we're not supposed to fish. Come on, Jesus, you just don't catch fish during the day. So this whole endeavor seems pointless. So how does Peter respond after saying, we fished all night? He turns to Jesus and he says, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. I wonder if when Peter says this to Jesus, if he's just kind of appeasing Jesus, if there's a little bit of exasperation, maybe even a little bit of sarcasm in the, well, if you say so, I'll do it. Not because I want to, not because I think it's going to make any difference, but I'll do it just because it's what you said to do. And then after we don't catch anything, we can come back in, you can say we tried, and all of that. But Peter's willing to take a step to follow. He goes out into the deeper waters. He lets the nets down. And then Luke tells us what the result is. And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they begin to tear. And this time was different than it was the time before. And this time was the time when it didn't even make any sense. The time before was the time when it made sense. But this time is different than it was before because you were willing to do something different. You were willing to accept the invitation to follow Jesus. And their nets were so full that they began to tear. There were so many fish that not only did the nets begin to tear, but Peter and those on his boat had to take another step. Luke tells us what that step is. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. And soon, both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. The catch in the middle of the day, when it made no sense to fish, was so much that they had to bring in another boat. And they had to start filling up both boats. And they filled up both boats so much to the point that the boats were on the verge of sinking. And the reason the boats were on the verge of sinking was because of the number of fish. And the reason they had caught fish was because they were willing to go out into the deep waters during the day when it didn't make any sense, because they were willing to accept Jesus' invitation to follow him and to do what he said and to do what he asked to be done. And then there's a fascinating turn in the story. And what Luke tells us is when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "O Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." All of a sudden, the story isn't about fish anymore. The story isn't about casting nets into deep water. All of a sudden, Peter begins to realize that Jesus is different than the other rabbis. Jesus is different than the Jewish teachers. Jesus has a unique insight into life and things. And not only does Peter begin to become aware of who Jesus is, but Peter also begins to come to grips with who he is. He looks at Jesus and calls him Lord and reflects on himself as a sinful man. And all of a sudden, the story isn't about fish. It's about following. So, Luke goes on to tell us it's why Peter fell at Jesus' feet. It says, "For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John," who, by the way, were also included in Matthew's account without a lot of the details, "were also amazed." Awestruck, amazed. Absolutely. Because of the number of fish that were caught, opened their hearts, opened their minds, opened their eyes to see Jesus differently than they had seen him when the invitation to push out into the waters was extended. And Jesus, what he tells them very clearly that this isn't about fish. This isn't about the family fishing business. This is about so much more than just the family fishing business. Jesus looks at them and says, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. Now, my guess is that Peter and Andrew and James and John didn't really have any idea at that point what it meant to fish for people. They just knew that Jesus was extending an invitation for them to follow. And what they were learning, though they didn't know what it meant to fish for people, they were learning how to trust Jesus. They were learning how to take a step of trust into a place where their trust and the trustworthiness of Jesus would intersect. And as a result of their experience, Luke tells us what they decide to do next. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. And all of a sudden, Matthew's account of the story makes so much more sense. The invitation to follow, when Jesus came along and saw the boats and invited the four fishermen to leave everything and follow, wasn't some random, out-of-the-blue invitation with no context and no information. They had heard Jesus teach the crowds. They had heard what Jesus was communicating about the kingdom of God. They had been invited to take a step when Jesus got onto the boat and asked Peter to allow him to use it as a speaking platform. And then they had been invited to take another step when Jesus invited them to go out into deep waters and to cast their nets. And they had experienced the result of following Jesus, having been willing to take those steps. They caught so many fish that they were awestruck, amazed. And they were willing to begin to see Jesus as someone different, maybe someone worth following. And the question that I wonder about for me, and people like me and people like you and maybe even you, is, would you have responded the same? Would we have followed? Would we have taken the first step? Or would we have been too tired and just wanted to go home because we had to go through the grind of the next day, the next time? Would we have been willing to push out into deeper waters when Jesus asked us to, even when it seemed like it didn't really make sense? Even when it went against how we normally did things? And here's the deal on that one. Sometimes we need Jesus to tell us to do things differently than the way we normally do them. Because sometimes the normal way we do them doesn't work out that well, and we should consider doing things differently. So the invitation isn't an invitation out of context. It's actually an invitation based on truth that can be discovered. Jesus invited. They took a step, and their step of trust intersected with Jesus' trustworthiness and led them to the point where they were willing to leave everything and follow. Would we respond the same? Would we follow? And then the question we wrestle with from that point on is, am I following? So, as we prepare to wrap up and go about the rest of our day, here are three questions to get or keep the conversation going. What are some excuses people use to avoid following Jesus? Or maybe even to avoid considering following Jesus? What is something you've done countless times that Jesus might be asking you to do different this time? Has there been a time or times for you when taking a step of trust intersected with Jesus' trustworthiness? Well, thank you for choosing to connect with the online campus of Hurricane Community Church. I hope that this time has helped you take a step in relationship with God and a step towards understanding what it means to following Jesus. Hope these questions help get and keep the conversation going. And I hope that you'll connect with us next time as we look at another aspect of what it means to follow Jesus. Let me pray as we wrap up this time together. Dear God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this story. The two versions, Matthew's and Luke's, that provide a summary and some details through which we can discover some phases of following Jesus, and where we can discover that a step of trust can intersect with Jesus' trustworthiness and lead us into the invitation to follow. And then from that point on, to wrestle with the question, am I following? God, I pray for each and every person today that we would have the wisdom to know what the next step we need to take is, the courage to take that next step, and then the ability to wrestle with the question day in, day out, am I following? Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. And we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.